You're listening to The Power of Us on Revolver Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Power of Us. This is Abel.
And this is his wife. Yes, we're still together.
Oh, yeah. We're still together.
We're still together.
Another week. We take a week by week here.
It used to be day by day.
Yeah, so we're getting
there. We're going to get to month to month. Yeah. And then year to year.
All right. You came up with a really interesting topic today, babe. What is it?
Things that we do to stay together. Mm. Like, what do we do on this end? I want to know because I don't know what you do to keep us together. And I don't think you know what I do to keep us together.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. There's a lot of things that us men do to stay in this relationship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that different? Staying in the relationship and staying together?
It's the same thing. I'm not talking about the family. I'm talking about you and me.
Yeah. No, yeah. But to keep yourself in the relationship is different than to keep us together.
All right. Well, let's set up the scenario, or like, what does this entail? What is it?
I mean, staying together when everything is easy is easy. Mm-hmm. You don't need to stay together.
Yeah.
It's usually when you're dating or you just got married, you ain't got kids, there's no financial issues, sex is great, she can cook or he can cook.
Yeah.
Church is nice and, you know, probably the euphoria stage. But like, what happens, what do guys do to stay together when it's a mess, when it's tough? Do you guys do anything, or kind of just go for the ride? You're just in the boat waiting for Jesus to calm the storm, and you're holding on for your dear life. Is that what happened? Then you're mad at Jesus because he's asleep?
A little bit of it. Yeah, no lie. Like, we just got to...
Weather the storm.
Weather the storm, yes. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like... it sounds corny, but like, we genuinely love our women. I love you, and...
How many boys have you surveyed?
How many boys have I surveyed?
How many men have you surveyed? Because you said we genuinely love our women.
I think guys stay because they love their women. They wouldn't have chosen them. Well, I guess, I don't know.
I look at him like, there's some boys that like barely got picked. Like, the girl was 60. Still a virgin. So she's just whoever. Whoever's breathing and, you know.
No, I don't know.
Just kidding.
I don't know. It's
Do you guys do anything? Is there anything we're playing, but like on a serious note, is there anything men do? And I'm saying this so we can help you do it. Maybe the girls can't have this conversation with their guy yet. I've never had it with you.
Yeah.
It stuck with me the other day because we were in one of those moments where because of everything. Now it's like, okay, quarantine is almost over, I think. I really don't feel like going outside. Like, I really don't miss being home, but it feels like it's almost over. We're almost going out again. And it's still like, man, are we going to, did we survive quarantine? Mm-hmm. Because tension is still around. Uh-huh. It's not like, oh, we're back and everything feels great. It's still like, still having some fights or some disagreements, arguments. What I just did something the other day to keep us together.
Mm-hmm.
And did you noticed? I'm sure you noticed.
Did you? Yes, I noticed. I'm just kidding.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
And that was all it was to you? It was just flesh?
Yes.
It was just pleasure?
Yes, it was. It was just raw.
You lucky I have passionate. Mentors. I have mentors and I have I have Mama Cece and you don't even know who that is.
I have no clue who Mama Cece is.
It's Roxy's mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Roxy's mom. She'll send me messages and verses, and the other day, just randomly, she said, make love to your hubby. Because and I don't even tell her like big stuff. She just, I just, hey, mom, you know, pray, mama, pray for us. And that's it, right? Love her because she's not all up in the business. And she's like, okay. And then a couple of days later, she's like, have sex with your hubby. And I knew it was real. It wasn't like a joke or anything.
Yeah.
And, but we were good. So I was like, okay, like we just did, but okay, you know? Anyway, so a couple of days later, you and I are going pretty like fast. It wasn't even, it was just really fast, going dark really fast, I think, where we're both starting to feel like, oh gosh, not again. And here we are. We're always like those negative thoughts are just going really fast. And I caught on to it later, not in the beginning. And then just all of a sudden felt God, like, don't give up. Yeah. Just be quiet. Let him go through it. Let him release it. Don't listen to anything he says. And then have sex with him. And I was like, okay. And so the having sex to him came back later because it came later. And so, yeah, I said, we're going to pray. That's it. We're going to pray right now in this moment, whether you want to pray or not, whether I want to pray or not, we're going to pray. So we put on some worship music. We didn't even know what to pray for. So Abel and I kind of decided we're just going to speak in tongues in those moments.
Yeah.
Spoke in tongues a little bit. God started to feel God. Then I prayed and then had sex with you. And it's funny and it is a joke because sometimes when we're mad at each other, I'll walk around naked. But that's more like a... Just to make you see what you can't have.
It's evil. Yeah.
It's evil?
Yeah.
Why?
It's absolutely evil.
It's still yours.
What are you talking about?
You can get it if you want, if you just say sorry.
Oh, really?
So you just be nice.
There's a starving lion inside of a cage.
Starving.
And then there's this trainer that just holds a big old piece of steak. It's yours. You can have it whenever you want, but he doesn't give it to them.
Just say sorry.
No, stop it.
If you just say, I don't want to lose you.
It's not that easy.
Don't want anyone else to have that. That's all you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so no, and I think it really, it's not as joking as you guys think. It is very powerful when you're going through a difficult moment to have sex with your husband, to have sex with your wife, because it is uniting. One, it's worshiping God. I know you think worshiping may just be music and words. It is. It's and that's very, very powerful, but it is also in the way that you live. So like, the waves worship God because they were made to wave and they're waving. The birds are chirping and they're worshiping God. The trees are letting out oxygen and they're worshiping God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you do what you're supposed to do, you're worshiping God. So when the enemy or you is trying to separate your marriage or he is, have sex with him because it is the most uniting thing that you can do and the devil can't mix with that.
That's really good advice, babe.
It's real. And I bet if boys knew this, they'd be really happy.
We get into a lot more fights to save
See,
the marriage.
That's why we can't tell you stuff.
Okay, no, seriously. All right, yes, I understand. Thank you. That does make up one of the things that you do to stay.
You made it really hard.
To stay
dude.
Together.
Never had to like seduce a guy. Don't make it that hard next time.
Mm.
Just give in. You know you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when we're mad and you pretend like you don't want to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on. It doesn't ever, whatever. Like people want to when they're mad.
Okay. Well, we do some stuff. I do some stuff.
What?
I'm patient. I'm patient with sharp tongues and loose tongues that happen in this
what
house.
What does Jason Mraz say?
Your words turns into knives. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're little knives.
They're not little knives.
They're pocket knives.
No. I don't even know how to compare it, but it's like if anything, it's like a sewing needle just stabbing you, just like on a machine.
Hey, that would really hurt.
Heck yeah.
Gosh.
So a lot of us guys, I mean, I do at least. I can't speak to anybody else. I'm just kidding about speaking for guys. But speaking for myself, sometimes maintaining quiet or the peace is the best thing that I have to do to stay in this. Because two people losing their heads doesn't work. And
that's true.
I fail because, I mean, I'll last for like 3, 4, maybe 5 hours and then keeps going. So and then I just pop off, you know? Sometimes it happens. So Sometimes I can't hang 24 hours nonstop.
Are you working up for it? Are you training?
Yes,
I'm training. The marathon, yes, the man. Yes.
My record is 10 hours. 10 hours of just holding my tongue.
Shush.
And not lashing back.
Shush.
But I mean, yeah, that's one of the things that I do. I think another thing is that, you know, women are just emotional and us guys aren't. And then sometimes I've done a bad job.
I think boys are emotional. They just don't show it. I think an emotional intelligence.
I think that we lack emotion because we are not in touch with it.
Numbing yes. Anger.
What is it called? Dissociation.
Dissociation.
We go through dissociation. And so we don't feel a lot of emotions. Meanwhile, women do. For example, with your family, you know, you feel a lot more emotion about your family than I do about mine. You know, in every which way.
He loves you, Mom.
I do. I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just not going to cry if my little brother cuts his finger or something like that, you know? You're just saying you're just a little bit more sensitive. Mm-hmm. With everything in general. Like anything can happen. Something can happen in the world. And I can just be like, oh, okay, what else is on TV? You know? Meanwhile, you'll actually go through something and you'll go through emotions and stuff like that. And that's something that I've worked on. That's something that I've worked on since we've gotten married, because I was really, really out of touch with my emotions when we first got together and we first got married. But that is something that we do deal with, because sometimes I've felt like, oh man, like what, I don't know what to do with her. Like she's just emotional about this and then she was emotional about that. And I just have to, it's just this thing about just trying to.
What did you learn in emotional intelligence in the marriage class?
I learned a lot about emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Now, so yeah, that's actually a very good point. One of the things that was brought up that was super interesting to me was the way that we grow up playing together. Boys, when they play together a boy gets emotional. Let's say they're playing basketball and then he misses a shot, whatever. He misses a shot, something goes bad, they make fun of him because he missed a shot, whatever. And he gets emotional. What we do as men is that we have just, for whatever reason.
Especially like older brothers.
Yeah, been trained to make fun of them and then tell them to get away, go sit down. Once you're over it, then get back in the game.
Mm.
And meanwhile, women, when they're playing and there's somebody that becomes emotional, somebody gets their feelings hurt, all of the women just gather towards that one person and she becomes the focus of attention.
What sucks is that we're still doing that now as grown people.
Yeah.
Like men will still cry alone. Like I think you, okay, when your grandma died, you wanted to be all alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you cried. You probably didn't, but you were feeling something.
Yeah.
And you just, from everything,
mm-hmm.
you just leave me alone. And so I think most men, if you're not aware of that, you'll still do that.
Yeah.
So ladies, your husbands do feel, but they've been trained to hide it, whether directly or indirectly. Directly, los hombres no lloran, or indirectly, hey, get away if you're going to cry.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake with Sam and the kids of just go cry in your room. And I don't want, now that we've learned that, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to deal with the issue. Okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
Tell me, hey, does it really hurt? They want me to kiss the boo-boo. And then, okay, and then they're done. Women, we still, it seems like we expect the attention. There's a difference between wanting it. I'm not going to cry because I want you to look at me. Mm-hmm. But if I cry, I do want you to notice.
You expect us to
notice.
To be there.
And hopefully be verbal about it. Like, yes. Oh man, like I hate to make you cry.
Yes, and that's something else that I do try to do, is that I try to dig down deep and try to figure out how to do it. Because it's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't want to. It's just sometimes I don't know how to solve those things. Because sometimes they do come like one after another. And some things are like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And then some things, honestly, just women, sometimes you're like, oh, this doesn't really make that much sense. Why is it affecting you this much?
Yeah.
You know, why are you caring about something that deep down inside it shouldn't be? It's not your weight, or it's not your thing. It doesn't involve you or anything like that, you know? And we're just different like that. You know, we're just differently emotionally because of the way we're growing up, but it doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. And I've learned that and I've grown over the last 10 years to really figure that out. And I'm nowhere near where you are in touch with your emotions, but I've been able to understand you a little bit more and figure out like, oh, you got some things that are good that I want. as far as being in touch with your emotions. Mm-hmm. So those two things, I think, are the biggest contributors. And the first one is mainly having the patience and holding my tongue. And I mean, you've done some amazing things too to stay in this relationship.
I was trying to think, like, what else do I do?
Well, I mean, you have your own way of doing it, but I mean, you do your best to just.
I'm quick to apologize. I don't know if you think they're sincere when I apologize, but I am. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little bit quicker to apologize than you are now.
Probably.
I used to be reversed.
Yeah. You, how do I put this? You, like, you have precursors of like, oh, I'm not going to like this. And so you, in your own way, you try to like prevent it by giving an advice or a hint or a like a help, you know, before mm-hmm. before something happens. Mm. And I've kind of seen that, or I've caught on to like, oh, you say something and it's like your way of trying to avoid something from happening in the very near future
mm-hmm.
that's gonna either annoy you or bother you or hurt us and even mm-hmm. in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether if it's financial or emotionally or just it'll hurt our relationship by we'll draw further away from each other and stuff like that. So I have seen that, and that's your way of doing of helping as well, I think.
Like Kaiser doing preventative care.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I try, it doesn't always work.
Yeah, like if you were Kaiser, I'd have like all my immune shots like 3-4 times. Yeah. I'd have like 3-4 cards.
And somehow you'd still get sick.
Somehow.
Okay, what else do you do? I pray a lot for my marriage.
Mm.
I speak faith over my marriage mm-hmm. more than I used to. These are all things I've learned. This isn't like, oh, I've been doing this forever. Yeah. This is stuff that I'm learning to do now, probably like in quarantine, to speak faith over my marriage with my tongue. I'm either building or taking down, and that's for all of us women. So decide to build. Yeah.
That's a very good point right there. The fact that you said that this is stuff that you're learning in quarantine, and there's a lot of stuff that I think that we've learned in quarantine.
Oh, something else I do.
Wait, okay. Before you get into that, we're going to go to a quick break because I got some stuff I want to share too.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Abel. And if you're looking for music that's good for your whole family,
and it's really uplifting,
something that'll touch your heart and soul,
mm.
feel free to check out my YouTube page, Abel's Worship. Thank you so much.
Remember to subscribe.
It's doorbell season, the busiest time of the year at your front door. And it's definitely true at our house. Right now, there's more packages and deliveries than any time of year.
With Ring, you can keep an eye out on all of this hustle and bustle, no matter where you are, right from your phone. It's the best.
Babe, you won't believe what happened today. Sammy is so smart.
Mm.
They dropped off some packages and we opened the door and they were just there. Like 15 gifts.
Wow.
And I didn't know who it was. And Sammy says, Mom, just check the Ring.
It's genius. It saves us so much time and it helps us stay organized. I love it.
For the holiday season, get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/Rosie.
The Welcome Kit includes the Ring Doorbell 3 and a Chime Pro.
It's all you need to start building custom security for your home today.
Just go to ring.com/Rosie.
That's ring.com/Rosie. R-O-S-I-E.
All right, guys. Welcome back from the break. All right, so we're talking about the things that we do to stay in this relationship. We give a few things. Rosie likes to give svetsa when we're arguing to try to bring us closer together. And for those of
is
you that are
real
Russian,
word?
For those of you that are Russian, you know
or
what
Pastor
svetsa
Pete.
Is. Uh-huh. So if you don't know what svetsa is, when you do svetsa, what you're doing is you are
doing the hibbity dibbity.
Yes. Okay, it's like what are the two sexiest farm animals that you know of? Do you know?
There are no
what?
There
two
are
sexiest
no
farm
sexy
animals.
Farm animals.
It's the brown chicken and the brown cow. Brown chicken, brown cow. Brown chicken, brown cow. So that's what you're doing when you're doing Svetza. So that's one of the things when we're fighting, she likes to do that. Now, my big thing is I do my best to stay as patient as possible and hold my tongue for as long as I can.
What I should do is wait till God tells you. If I would wait for God to tell you and you to listen, then I wouldn't have to tell you like the things that bother me.
Mm.
And that would be ideal.
Mm.
I'd have more time to cheer you on. I'd have more time to build you up. I'd have more time to enjoy our time together. It's just really tough to like wait. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I learned that from what I do.
She said
do. You said a dumb joke too. from what I do currently and always is call a mentor. I'll call a mentor. I have no shame in asking for help. When I'm about to say it, I do get embarrassed because I start with me first. I don't start with what my husband did.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And don't call his mama and don't call your mama or your sister or your brother or anyone that's going to come back later and think badly of your husband.
Yeah.
Call a mentor that's unbiased, hopefully not blood related, and has a healthier marriage than you. I'm not saying that they're perfect, just a little bit, 1 degree healthier than you.
Yeah.
And I'll have 2 or 3 just because I get embarrassed to call that same one over and over. So,
yeah,
you know, hopefully they don't talk to each other. And even if they did, you know, but I start with me. I did it. This was my fault. This is where I messed up. He tried his best. Then if he did messed up, I'd be like, but this that he did really got me mad.
Yeah.
And then I listen to their advice. And believe me, they're going to tell you things you don't want to do. And mm-hmm. the sex was one of them. And the biting your tongue, waiting for God to tell him. And one of my mentors said, well, I waited for God for a year to tell my husband.
Wow.
I'm like, no. Like, are you kidding me? And then he figured it out and it was great. And there was no big old fight. You know, obviously, if you're not in danger and it's not abuse, all that stuff. But I mean, God will tell them.
Yeah.
And so that I should be doing.
Wow.
But something that has helped us tremendously, whether you know it or not, is me being in contact with my mentors.
Wow, that's super good. And that's something that I've learned in this quarantine, that I've learned to just be more vulnerable with mentors. And so I've reached out, and now I have 2 mentors, sometimes 3 as well, that I'm able to reach out to. And I do that. And it is super humbling. It's very uncomfortable and embarrassing. So if you don't have a mentor, I completely understand what you might be thinking. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do that. I can't share my stuff. I can't tell them this, this, and that. Or what if they see us differently, this, this, and that? But there are specific people that are, at least in church, that I know of, but I mean, also in the world, there are specific people that are just, they're called to help others live life. And this isn't about you being a bad husband or a bad wife. This is about us doing life together. What they are is just a different version of the power of us. That's why you listen to us,
mm-hmm.
but you don't speak to us, you know?
Yeah. We don't know you.
And you need to have people that know you, that can hold you accountable. And it's been amazing because I have these guys messaging me 2-3 days in a row after the fact to ask me, how's it going? Like, one of them messaged me today saying, hey, dude, let's jump on a call tomorrow just to see how you're doing. I want to pray for you. I want to chit chat. I want to talk about the good, the bad, and just keep doing life together. And that's amazing. And you're able to find those. There are people that do that.
People that genuinely care.
Yes,
and
that's
what I was
going to get to.
It's hard for you to believe it, but.
Yeah. And that's been amazing. Another thing that's been going on in this quarantine that I've learned, and just God's been revealing a lot of stuff, is that we got guidance to just really see our relationship as something spiritual and not something carnal.
Yeah.
Because we are in ministry, because we are followers of Christ and stuff like that. There are more obstacles that come our way, you know, more reasons as to why we shouldn't be together, because we have such strong presence, such strong ministries, such strong anointing over our lives, that we have to see our marriage as something spiritual, not just as physical. So if at this moment we feel like, oh man, I feel like she doesn't like me, you know, because a lot of the times we feel that, you know, we say, oh, she doesn't love me. But what you're really, really feeling is that you feel that she doesn't like you. She doesn't like you because that liking there will make you feel either accepted or rejected. And that's mm-hmm. what makes you flip out like that. And when you see this as a spiritual marriage, you're able to fight it differently.
By what we mean is, okay, so just our example. I used to think that one of the main issues that we had was Abel's age, right? So I started talking to a girl in a similar situation. She's more than a mentor. She's like a peer, right? But a great peer. Like, so I can call her and be like, hey, like, does this get better? Or do you think this is a maturity issue? Or do you think this is a character trait? Have you been through it? And so someone similar to me. And she said, it's really not even the age. So I just thought about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then later on, but one of our mentors, which thank God we have them, said it's more about who you are in your calling.
Mm.
Because who you are in your calling brings across certain characteristics. Get me? So, you know, whatever you are in your calling, whatever you are in your career, for example, if a lawyer is married to, I don't know.
Doctor.
A dancer.
Okay.
I don't know. Or a doctor. Yeah. One is very argumentative by nature. You, in order to be an attorney, you're going to see everything as facts, black or white, yes or no, right?
Good.
And the way that's how an attorney communicates, while the doctor is about healing, saving. How are we going to make this better? Yeah. I don't care. Okay, maybe, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue for 3 hours if I was right. Can we just make it better? That's how I imagine it. So that person would have to see. But doctors get tired too, or doctors are probably emotional, like, man, I don't want to lose another battle. I don't want to lose another life. And attorneys are more just like, did I win this one?
Matter of fact.
I don't know. Matter of fact, that's what we're saying. Abel and I are seeing each other as where we are in the spiritual realm, I am as where God called me, and I have certain characteristics, and so does he. And one of those characteristics can sometimes be, for example, the lack of empathy. I see it. It's going to get done. Can we just move on? I don't care if you got to wake up early. I don't care if you don't eat for 4 or 5 hours. It should be fine. You'll eventually eat. And he's different. He's more like, hey, the ride, like, why should I be starving along the ride?
That's so good.
So that's what we mean. More than it's not the age difference. And that fact really helped me to see us as spiritual. Because if I can see us as spiritual, I see you as God's son and in your purpose and in your character. And I don't feel it's against me. It's more, oh, that's the way he's wired.
You know what? That's a really good point right there. That's super interesting to see how our careers play out with our personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you really think about it, because all that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you really like put it more on just normal standards, because I mean those are great jobs, but if you're a factory worker and you're doing the exact same thing for 8 hours straight, and then you go home and you're expecting to do the exact same, you go home, you eat, sit down, watch TV, you shower, spend an hour with the kids, and then you go to sleep, and then for one person that's their life, but for the other person, like, oh my God, we don't do anything different, everything is so boring and the same, and we don't do anything spontaneous, you know? But that's super interesting to see how that correlates between our jobs or our careers and our life.
Yeah.
And maybe that would open up a lot of worms, but something that you guys can get through.
It's at least seeing it through a totally different perspective.
That's good.
And perspective is so much. So Abel and I go based off of our ministries.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And getting this new perspective definitely helps. And it brings down the fire when, and we know how to cool it off. And we've learned like, okay, both can't be in flames. One of us is just going to have to choose to chill out. And in the middle of the fight, you can't even choose. So it might as well be you. Just say it'll just be me.
Mm-hmm.
So be that person, be the person that puts out the flame. But I mean, if you guys don't know your ministry or don't have one, just go by, you know, one's a firefighter and the other is a hiker, like, you know, and go through there, you know? Yeah. So at least you guys know how to love them and how to receive the things that are coming out of their mouth and why they're like that, rather than he doesn't like me, he's tired of me, he hates the marriage, or all that junk that the enemy tries to put in your mind.
Yeah, super good. Anything else that you've learned in this quarantine?
So much. But in this sense, that's one of the main things that I've learned on how to keep us together.
Wow, that's super good.
So hopefully it helped you guys, you ladies.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Some
yeah.
men care.
Yeah, some, yeah, they do. I know a few couples that listen together. So put some comments in this podcast and or DM us the way you usually do and let us know, you know, what are you doing to stay together? That's where I want to be more interactive so that it's the yeah. power of us, not just Abel, Rosie, God, but Abel, Rosie, God, you and your spouse, us together.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's something about your kids or your suegra, just let us know.
Hey, so this, now I'm speaking to you guys, listeners. This quarantine is almost wrapped up and there's a good chance. I'd probably be able to be right on the nail more often than not, that you and your spouse have probably gotten into it pretty yeah. harsh because it's super hard because we've been together for so long in this quarantine without having breaks from each other. Just the more time you get together, the more defects you're able to see, the more arguments you're able to come up and just things like that. But I just want you to know that whatever you're feeling right now, God has the ability to restore you guys and yeah. take you guys to another level. I've been seeing these amazing, amazing point of views about what's going on in the world right now, in that maybe in this time right now, we are going through pain. And Pastor Julian Lowe from Oasis, which is our home
Fire.
Church,
yes.
gave this amazing preaching this last Sunday called The Waiting Room. Maybe right now you are in a waiting room. Mm-hmm. Maybe right now this time of just labor that you're going through, you're just receiving pain and it's becoming more frequent and it's becoming more often and it's becoming stronger each and every time. So this pain that you're going through, this constant pain, maybe there's a chance that this doesn't have to be a terrible year. This doesn't have to be a terrible marriage. But in this time, you have the opportunity to be able to flip it around and to be able to grow from it. There's absolutely nothing bad that can happen to you that you cannot learn from.
Yeah.
The phrase that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger is absolutely true. You have the ability to become stronger, or you can let it kill you.
Oof.
And die in depression, kill your hope. You can have it kill your faith in your marriage. You can have it kill your love even. Yeah. It's truly up to you, but it can yeah. also make you stronger. And that's honestly what we're trying to do each and every day, because we're not there yet. We're
yeah.
not there yet. We still struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We have moments, we have issues. We have constant issues and battles that are things that are going on between us and spiritually and whatnot. But the whole thing that we do know, the one thing that we do know that is never going to change, is that God loves us, is that God has a solution, and that God can guide us and mold us. Because we can ask God to mold our spouse all we want, but it's up to them to allow God to do it. And it's in your court to allow God to continuously mold you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the same water that hardens the egg softens the potato. So it really depends on you.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. That's interesting.
All right. It's the same water.
Yes.
Did you get it?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. So you can either get hard or get soft.
Okay.
It depends on you, you know?
Yeah.
There's one about tea too. Like the same water that
I don't know. That was all right. I'll take it though. I'll take it. Hey, we truly, truly love you guys. We want to hear from you guys. So please send us a DM to my wife or to both of us. Just tag us both in the same DM or whatnot. And we can just chit chat about what potentially we can speak on the next topics. Because straight up, it's getting hard. We've done over 100 of these. And
almost. We're at 99.
We're at 99.
This is 99.
Yes.
Hey, I was going to say maybe our 100th could be our 9th anniversary, but that's a few weeks away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be married 9 years, yeah, yo. Man.
Yeah, that's a lot for us. For us, it doesn't feel like it.
Baby,
it's crazy.
It feels like 2 days.
It's crazy how like we're like meeting older couples and we've been married longer than them.
Yeah.
That's getting kind of weird.
We started when you were young. I forgot. Okay. We love you guys. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
See you next week.